Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ask Catherine and the Slurry Team. Questions as of November 11th. We're recording on Wednesday, November 13th for publication on Friday, November 15th. I'm in a roadside gas station in Oklahoma. Carolyn is back in her office, Carolyn, and I just told you I saw a new sign. So I've road tripped all over America. It's the first time I've ever seen one. It said, "Hitchhikers may be escaped convicts." So there must be a nudge office at the Oklahoma State government. They came up with a new nudging way to stop motorists from picking up hitchhikers. So I thought that was, because I've driven, I mean, I've driven over a million miles around America. I've never seen that one. So always, there's something new every day. Okay, your free and inspired life. Sovereignty versus Mr. Global. How can the real ID be used as a digital ID? I thought they had to be a biometric component involved. I'm pretty technocrat savvy and had no idea it was bad. Secondly, all my counter narrative friends and family are so in love with Trump, I don't get it. It's like the men in black sap their memory. All I see is propaganda and manipulation. They view me as the enemy for not wanting to vote for Trump. Is this mind control or just old fashioned group thing? So, the real ID is not biometric, but remember, when you make a database, it's easy to add a field. So snapping it together with biometric and then snapping it in conformity with other database systems like the Gavi database or vaccine passports, and that was the power of Promise software, was they were able to get non-conforming databases to snap together. Now, if you get a federal system, whatever that federal system is, and the real ID is a federal system, it's getting implemented through the states, but it can snap together with others and create a conforming database. Counter narrative friends and family are in love with Trump. So I completely understand this. I mean, I'm getting yelled at. I'm getting yelled at because I try and bring up the facts about both candidates. So I'm making everybody unhappy, but I particularly understand it because, we just had a new round of reminders that Trump is pushing a digital ID. I don't know if I told you this, Carolyn, but we talked about it in Money and Markets. The Germans came out with a huge whistleblower leak that
RKI,
shows,
yes, which is
yeah, the
Robert
RK, right.
Institute.
So it proves that they had complete scientific knowledge that the masks didn't work, the lockdowns didn't work, and the vaccines didn't work. There was no scientific basis for any of those recommendations whatsoever. It was 100% political. At the same time, the Germans dump out this, we have a Dutch official coming out in parliament and saying, you know something, this was all under the auspices of NATO. And I want to point out the timing of these two things. Trump is reelected, and suddenly the Europeans are saying, oh, we were required under a military program by NATO, i.e., the US, to implement masks, vaccines, and lockdowns for which there was no scientific basis, and it was a military program. It was
And
Trump that.
it was started by the president you just elected.
Right. So Trump authorized a military program, funded it with $18 billion, that through NATO required us to do all these things, even though there's no scientific basis. And it just so happens when he's being reelected, we're going to mention this. And of course, if you're sitting in Germany, it's very frustrating because, the whole deal was you support us on the Ukraine and you'll get the Ukraine, right? And in fact, it's failed completely and your economy has been wrecked. And now here comes Trump, the guy who did the rape of 2020. So I it's going to be very curious to see what the Germans and the Northern Europeans do here. CAB question. The next one is yours, Carolyn.
Yes, I have a Texas license, and on the upper right-hand corner is a yellow circle with a white star. Does that mean they signed me up for digital identification? The answer is yes, sure they did. And Texas is, I believe, one of the states that will not issue a non-real ID. So what do? You call and raise Cain with your representative, your Congress, your person in the state legislature, and tell them you do not like this.
Right, so you have a House representative and you have a state senator. And both of them, you know, if you get enough state senators and House representatives, they can turn this around.
Yeah, see
They
what happened.
have.
Yeah. What happened originally, as was explained to us by the person we had on Canadian
Twyla.
Rebellion, yes, Twyla Braze, they tried to get through the digital ID, the real ID, way back when, and the state, the congressman and the senators said no, they were absolutely against it. So then, several years later, they inserted it in an appropriations bill. I think that's what it was. And it went unnoticed and it was passed. Then, you know, there's been a lot of opposition by the states, which would be from the state congressional people, the state Congress and the state senators, and maybe even the governors. And but there was a lot of them misunderstood what it was all about, because they were getting constituents calling saying, ah, we have to have real ID because I want to fly and visit my grandchildren, because of all these signs that were posted all over that are lies. And the signs said you cannot fly without a real ID. The fact is, you can if you have another form of federal ID, which a passport is one. So we'd like to eliminate the requirement anyway, but legally you can fly with a federal ID. But the problem now is that there are at least five states, or five that Twyla knew about, that are not issuing non-regular state IDs, that are not the federally conforming ones, called the real IDs. So the people in the states that won't do that, ought to, you know, need to call their representatives and tell them we don't like this. They're state representatives. Because what's the other thing that's happened is the National Motor Vehicle Association, whatever it's called, has taught all these DMV people about issuing real IDs, and a lot of the state people working for the DMVs think that that's all they can do, which is not true. But there's also been a lot of lobbying by that group, I guess that's how it resulted in the mandate in the states, the five states that won't issue the regular state IDs. So, you know, we can only get it changed if the people rise up, right?
That one, that, you know, if enough people go into their state legislators, that one can be changed.
And we have heard that the third through one of the lists that we're on, that there are people in BMVs that are saying they're never going to be able to do this by May, because only about half the people out there have real IDs anyway.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. The next one is, you have m both mentioned not to get involved with real IDs. I had to get a new license, driver's license. So when I went, I said, I do not want a real ID. I don't want a star. Of course, I paid for it, went through it, and it came to me, and there's the star on it. I want to go back and say, I specifically told the woman not to give me that, and I think it would be okay. Yet in Wisconsin, I don't know that it's required. I don't remember. I will look up the states that Twyla said. There are five of them, and two of them are Texas and Georgia. So I don't remember Wisconsin being one of the ones that statutorily they concluded would not issue the other type. What we would recommend is going on the driver's license site and seeing if there's anywhere that says, that indicates that they're still issuing the regular IDs. I would call my local congressman, which is the smaller of the two, usually fewer people, and talk to their person who's assigned to dealing with governmental entities, and just see if they can help you with that. I think that if the legislators hear from lots of people that they don't want them and they want to know how to get regular ones, they might do something. So I think that would be a really good idea. We don't have the resources to research 50 states on this. I know my state does issue a regular driver's license. I'm in Ohio. And I know that in Tennessee, there's at least one driver's license bureau that doesn't know that they don't have to. They default to the real ID. But if you take in a copy of what's on the website that clearly indicates that they will issue state IDs, you can get one. The fact is that there are certain types of immigrants, people here legally who are not citizens, who can't get a real ID. So each state has to deal with those people. The question is whether they will deal with you as if you were one of those people and issue a regular driver's license. Got it?
Okay. Hi, Catherine. I've recently heard you mention several times in programs that an all digital ID or financial payment system will create a slavery system for all of us. In addition, none of us can be free unless all of us are free. I totally get that. You always reiterate that digital IDs and payments would be used for total control tracking and that technology would be used to enforce it. I've also heard you mention about it that statement, they, Mr. Global, will also take your kids. So I didn't say they would take your kids. I said they could take your kids, and I expect some kids to be taken. I've heard you mention this many times over the past few years. Can you elaborate on that more, please? What would be possible scenarios that parents would have their kids taken away from them? Okay, so if I have an all-digital financial system, and I now the central bankers can control fiscal policy, I've got big tech firms running the government programs who report to me instead of to Congress or the president. So the people's representatives are, they're no longer, they lo no longer have the power to make laws and implement them because basically I can make the rules, as Augustine Carson says, on how you can use your money. So if you don't do exactly what I say, like wearing masks or taking a vaccine or locking down and staying in your home, I can turn off your money. And if you don't do what I say, I just turn off your money. And let's say, well, I'm not going to use money. I'm going to barter with family and friends. I can also say, well, if you help her, I'll turn off your money. So nobody will help you. And so you have what you have to understand, this isn't a change in the financial system. This is a coup d'etat and a fundamental change in how government operates. Instead of having a republic or a democratic process, you have a dictatorship run by the people who run the financial system. And all rules and regulations can be made up by them and implemented through their money. It's not me telling you that. It's the central bankers telling you that. If you look at all of our video shorts on the financial transaction freedom, now you can have all the laws you want that say they can't take your kids. But of course, unless, unless you give your kid a vaccine a week or whatever it is they want, or if they say, we want your kid to go to boarding school, we have a special super soldier boarding school and they're going to go there. They can turn off your money and then you can't feed yourself, your family, your other kids, etc. So you're talking about absolute power. And it's a coup. So all the laws you know and all the process you know and all the customs you know and all the culture that you know suddenly are subject to a higher power. And it's a coup d'etat. So it's a fundamental change in the governance system. And so in that sense, they can do whatever they want. And the question is, how fast will they implement that? And how fast will they start to exercise extraordinary powers? Now, let me give you an example. They have not been in a position to do that, but I spent 11 years, $6 million, and 36,000 hours working for free, proving that I had done nothing wrong ever, which they knew from the beginning, but they were able to implement 18 audits and investigations, 12 tracks of litigation, a smear campaign, and physical harassment. And so I spent 11 years and worked 36,000 hours for free and 6 million of my and my company's money proving that I'd done nothing wrong. And sure enough, when it was over, I had done nothing wrong and they had to pay me the money they owed me. They owed one of my company's money. So, so they had the power to do that when the when they didn't control money. Now, if you look at the speed at which they turned off my income, my credit, my ability to transact or function in the marketplace, it was quite extraordinary. So, look at what they did to the Canadian truckers. If they say you do what we say, or we're going to turn off your money, they can do that now, but they can't do it to everybody at the same time on scale on an economic basis. But they're working towards doing that. So they can do whatever they, if they get this power, they can do whatever they want. It's complete central control. You're talking about a coup d'etat. It's the end of human liberty in the West. Naomi Wolf said it best. It is a, you are taking the Constitution and you are tearing it up. Now, I have great hope that the states can stand in the breach, but they're going to have to take active steps to stand in the breach, especially if the people doing this, break up the country. There's nothing they would love to break the country down into multiple countries, and that'll give them more power and control. So I don't know how to, I don't know how to make this more clear to you other than to say, it's the end. Think of every law and rule you know. They just override it. They just change it all. It's a coup.
I
Okay.
just wanted to comment that I personally, when I was under pressure to leave Washington in connection with our lawsuits there many years ago, had an anonymous complaint filed against me by in ch with Children's Protective Services, and that caused me to move back to Cincinnati. That is something that real estate developers do when they want people to move out of buildings that they want to convert to condominiums or whatever. So there is some precedent for that, for taking children for, and we also saw this during the pandemic, particularly in California, where there were custody decisions made and visitation decisions made by judges who were pro-vaccine when the disfavored parent did not want to have the children vaccinated. And there also is power over once they take the children with children who are in the system to force vaccines when their parents don't want it. So there is precedent for that.
Right. And the contractor doing a lot of those local, child services is the same contractor that was doing sex slave trafficking as a federal contractor. And I did all the research and backup for a reporter doing a big story, cover story in Insight magazine about their sex slave trafficking. And I made sure it got sent to the contracting offices at all 24 covered agencies. And the next week, the SEC, I think it was the SEC and the Navy gave them two huge new contracts.
Yeah, and that was the entity that was providing services to my local welfare department
Right.
back
Right.
then.
Right. Yeah. There were, we did a lot of transparency to that company. Okay, so we have sort of in the script next, it's coming up the meet and greet. I'm headed to Texas right now. That's what I'm doing in the on the roadside. So I'm headed to Texas, and we're going to have a huge meet and greet. It's going to be a great one. A lot of great people turning out in Grapevine, Texas, this Saturday, and we're just finally booking the meet and greets for next spring, and it's going to be great. It's a great combination. Anyway, the meet and greets have been fantastic this year, and in fact, we're going back to several places in the spring and fall. And I'm going to be organizing, Carolyn, sort of regular Zoom calls to brief the state legislators and state officials because we've had so many really amazing briefings. And I'm very excited about what is happening at the state level. Okay, so let's go to navigation tools, economy, and financial markets. Catherine, whoever's reading this, I wasn't sure which category since it's not a question, but an idea, not that you guys need them. Did you see that Elon Musk commented on slashing spending? Ron Paul commented on it. Paul's comment on Elon's Twitter thread got, or Elon's reply got over 50 million views. I wonder if you were someone who had made it clear they don't trust Musk, tagged Elon with after discussing what spending to cut, or maybe that, how about we discuss the missing trillions? I've tweeted that before, but I can do it again. Elon likes to be in the spotlight and he's not afraid of controversy. To actually get a conversation would be great, but I figure if you guys even get his views on the subject, I don't do Twitter, so I won't be able to help. Okay, so I've done a couple of tweets related to his proposals, and it's really interesting. So we covered it in Money and Markets that his stock is flying, as is Peter Thiel's. So Elon's
What
already
can
making a
I
His $50 million donation to Trump has come back many, many multiples, many times. Okay, geopolitics. I took in that qu Hi, Catherine. I took another run at the question about the independence of Central Bank of Russia. Okay, you moved these to recommended links.
Yes, and you can
Okay.
see
Yeah.
the subscriber did re in terms of research in the recommended
Yeah.
links.
I really appreciate this because I really want to do a deep dive on the Russian Central Bank, and this subscriber has really helped tremendously. I very much appreciate it. Okay, energy environment. This is similar to what we did last week on the CNG, but we put it in again. It got resubmitted, but we did address last week. I recently paid long haul folks to ship my recently purchased Civic to Salt Lake to have the tank replaced as it expired 5 years ago. I applied for a PNG PG&E card in order to fill the vehicle with fuel. When in Central and Northern California, PG&E manages all of the CNG stations, they do not accept any credit cards. They rejected my application without an inspection of the tank. The folks that installed the tank, they do this all the time, didn't do an inspection certificate because the tank was brand new. Needless to say, this has been a warm welcome to the world of monopolies. JPM manages credit card payments to waste management CNG stations in Southern Cal and PG&E for Central and Northern Cal. Cash gets a gasoline powered ICE vehicle anywhere. CNG gets you whatever the credit card processor decides. This is why I like gas. Yeah, I'll stick with fossil fuels and simplicity. Okay, question number nine. Missouri has over 7 inches of heavy rain in the last 24 hours. Notice the weather radar patterns in the video. Storm fronts typically run east-west unless there's a hurricane along the eastern states blocking the front. The red section of the storm remained hovered over our area from Sunday night to Tuesday morning as the storm line moved southwest to northeast from Houston through Little Rock, St. Louis, and Chicago. Polling locations are already closed in some areas of St. Louis and Missouri towns due to flooding. Very interesting. The patterns and unusual weather, just keep growing. And I think more and more people that from what I see are willing to have an honest conversation about weather manipulation and management. Okay, risk management, due diligence. I'm greatly interested in hearing your thoughts on Eric Prince, both past and present. Clearly he knows about the atrocities our government has perpetrated abroad and surely had a hand in many. I heard it said that his efforts at present can be attributed to his concern over his legacy going forward. Do you believe his unplugged phone was devised for true privacy and security, or that the phone is just a covert up? So I don't know much about Eric Prince. I've listened to a couple of his interviews. I think he's very clearly a very intelligent and hardworking and competent guy. I don't know a lot about Blackwater. I have studied mercenaries, and I think it's very bad to let mercenary capacity develop. And so I'm not comfortable with sort of private mercenary armies. I did two book reviews of very good books on mercenaries and the pros and cons and the problems. And I would, if you're interested in the topic, I would recommend you take a look. But the more you create private armies, the more you create a demand for war. And if you look at the extent to which the American government is run by defense contractors, it's exactly what Eisenhower told us. We created a huge military industrial and he wanted to say congressional complex. In terms of atrocity, so I've never investigated any of the claims of atrocities against BlackRock. I'm sorry, against Blackwater. What I will say is when you send an army into a war situation, I don't want to be an armchair critic watching, because when you're in a danger zone and when you're in a war zone, you have to do what you have to do, and sometimes you shoot and it turns out it's a civilian. So I don't, I think the bigger problem is when you put private armies in war zones. You know, this is what is going to happen. It's just the way, it's the way war is. Any thoughts, Carolyn?
I agree. We did cover the this phone in one of the James was thinking it was in March, but if you do a search for the Tech Corner, we actually covered this particular phone in Tech Corner.
One of the funniest things I ever saw was the guys at the farm in Tennessee. Blackwater was started to buy land next to them, and they went ballistic and went all the way to Nashville and got Blackwater thrown out of the area. It's pretty funny.
Wow.
Yeah, they're, well, the farm, those guys are, they're amazing. Anyway, okay, Living Equity, Health, Food, and the Great Poison. Greetings, Catherine, Carolyn. This is more of share with Catherine and fellow Silurians than an ask. I recently stumbled on a video with Scott Shara. So this is Amazing Grace's dad. Hospitals under military martial law. And I won't read the whole thing. It describes the video. We just recorded with Mary Holland and several wonderful reporters a discussion of the new book that Children's Health Defense has published on the military pharmaceutical industry, or I think it's called Medical and Pharmaceutical Complex Murder or Killing. And it's basically a very significant documentation of intentional murder by the medical establishment and hospitals, not just in COVID, but for the last 100 years. And you know, if you doubt that you know, this has been going on, it's a real doozy. So needless to say, we just did Jennifer Walters just a wonderful interview with Dr. Sam Bailey about how to avoid emergency rooms and how to, you know, and what to do if you can't. And one of the things Jennifer always recommends is always take, you know, hire a private nurse and take them with you. In other words, don't be alone, because if you get into a hospital where the rules are designed literally to kill you, or they're under military, you know, authorization, and you're not dealing with a medical, you know, you're not in a medical legal infrastructure, you're in a military legal infrastructure, and its goal is to depopulate you. You don't want to be in there alone. Any thoughts, Carolyn?
You know, he's a great guy, and you know, he's put a lot of effort into getting justice for his daughter. And we have a link, a recommended link that talks about some of the waivers, CMS waivers that were in effect during the COVID crisis. But you have to believe that his daughter, they imposed a DNR, do not resuscitate order. In her case, even when her parents, who were her guardians, did not approve it. And that was one of many things that were going on that are very suspicious. So I take it he now has a platform, and he's very knowledgeable, so it's worth listening to.
Yeah, he is a great guy and he's doing a great job. Another subscriber who I met during the meet and greet sent in a link to Remnant Healthcare, which is one of the organizations that can help you get a private nurse or somebody to help you navigate the system. So you and Jennifer, or Jennifer has recommended them, correct?
Yes, and they're proponents of sort of a parallel system, or a medical health care system that's outside the norm, and it's a private membership organization that you can subscribe to, but I think also you can hire a nurse advocate through them. And I don't know whether you have to be a member or not, but it's worth looking into.
Right, it's a private membership organization. Okay, hello, Catherine. Sounds like you're having a ball in the States. So glad. Craig, I always mispronounce his name. Is it Party Cooper?
Yep.
Posted this on Telegram this morning. I asked if I could send it to you, and he said he'd love that and to be part of the implementation project. Clearly, better not to need it at all, because no medical interventions. But until Richards finds themselves on anaphylaxis, or more broadly recognized, this would remove a few shadows for the poisoners to hide in. I've suggested he send it to Sasha too. Executive order should also include a decentralized database for adverse reactions in each state, So a central agency never again has complete control of what data made public, deleted, or edited. Whilst a central database can continue, and an independent public database within each state must be maintained independent of any federal authority. It's crazy to have a single database at the mercy of a small group of easily corruptible officials, and independent databases would be a way of confirming safety signals. Also, the public needs to be aware of safety signals of all drugs, vaccines, and substances. This means that all FAERS data must be made publicly available for analysis, not just VAERS, but also FAERS. FAERS deals with all drugs, VAERS only with vaccines. Clearly, an extension of this would be a national database in each European country, but the Europeans are at least 5 years behind the US in terms of waking up. I know that Netherlands has their own database. I've looked at it regularly. Anyway, thank you. So, question number 14, not a question, but I know this topic has been discussed on Ask Catherine. Just in case you weren't aware, I want to let you know of Peggy Hall's website regarding the rabies vaccine and what one can do to avoid it. So, I put that in news trends and stories before. Okay, 15. Catherine, Carolyn, good morning, and big thank you for all that you and the Solaria team are doing to help us stay sane and all that is swirling around and within. Recently, I've been acquainted with a group who are passionately going forward with remediation efforts to rid our bodies of the parasites, organic and synthetic, that are within us all without our consent. I've come to understand there is an issue of those who accepted the Kool-Aid for COVID and those of us said no. It is the great poisoning from food, air, water, and particularly through food, weaponized against us insane. I encourage you to consider Maria Chrysler, CEO of, I don't know how to pronounce that, Abatu Naturals, who is a research scientist working behind an electronic microscope to illuminate the hybrid polymers, hydrogels, microbots, parasites that we can be identified. And then more information about her and some links. So thank you very much for that. And you say David Hughes is aware of her work. That's good to know. I will say this, on the weekly interviews, we're going to continue to focus on stopping the control grid and protecting you and your family from the control grid. So we're going to be doing less on health than we did, during the pandemic. So I should just note that. But we continue to do everything we can support Weston Price and CHD about doing the same. Okay, financial equity. First, we start with cash and precious metals.
I don't know what
Right.
it is.
Somebody sent in the outline that we published for the equity overview on gold and silver. And it's a great outline. It's just got a tremendous number of links, and it's a good thing to access. It's a great resource. Okay, questions. What are your predictions for gold in 2025? So I'm not a predictor of the future. I don't believe in prophecy. But I do think gold is in a long-term bull market. And so I do think if you don't have a core position, you want to get one. If I do think gold is an investment opportunity, but whether it is for you or not depends on your unique situation. So so the market is attractive, and we've gotten a big since the Bitcoin pump after the election, gold has taken a nosedive. So it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's just on sale. Do you have any advice for leaving the country for Russia with precious metals? The sanctions have made it difficult to move assets in and out. I wondered if you had any thoughts or insight. You really need to talk to somebody who's an expert in the sanctions. And my understanding is there are many ways to do it, but you want to make sure you're obeying the law. So the first thing you want to do is find somebody who's an expert and really knows the law. As long as it's legal, it's very difficult and expensive to move precious metals internationally in large size, and usually the safest way to do it is to hire Brinks or someone to do that. I'm assuming Brinks doesn't carry things into Russia. I just don't know. One way to do it is to just move things to Switzerland, and then, once you're in Russia, if you're moving, then move from there. But just remember, if you're a US citizen, the US has jurisdiction. So you want to make sure whatever you do is legal under US law. Any thoughts, Carolyn?
No, I know nothing about that.
Okay. Hi, Catherine and the great team. My question and concern is the possibility of crypto or CBDCs voiding the value of gold. Is this a possibility? No, but what is a possibility is if we go to a complete control system and you're not free to trade anything, and nobody's free to trade anything, then everything, all prices get, all values can get voided in that sense. A lot of us are investing in precious metals at this moment, but thinking critically, the future seems to be going towards a less physical commodity-based future currency. So Bitcoin and crypto, a stable coin you can think of as a payment mechanism. Bitcoin is not money, it's a commodity. It's not a currency. Unless, of course, crypto CBDC debacle is another Trojan horse. In short, it's a possibility. And what you and your team, what your opinion on this? Okay, if we go to a complete control system, they're going to take all your assets. And I don't know if they're going to take them fast or slow. They're going to take everything. So when they say it's 2030 and you have no assets, they're serious. So, they're going to they're going to void all your value. So, I go back to, my old example of Catherine. One day I have $1 million a month in revenues and $800,000 in personal and professional expenses, and I'm socking 200,000 in the bank or reinvesting it in the business. And then the next day I have no revenues. My expenses have shot up even more because of, make work litigation and compliance costs. And suddenly my credit, is being shut off and nobody will speak to me. My Rolodex of 5,000 most important people in the country, suddenly no, nobody will return my phone call, right? So, here's the thing. I keep trying to explain, we don't have a financial problem, we have a governance problem. And the reality is, we have a governance problem where we have a governance system that is lawless. And if there's no law and the federal government doesn't have to obey the laws related to financial management, and a group of people can steal trillions and trillions of dollars and do whatever they want with sovereign immunity, and there's no law, then nothing has any value except, what you can transact with your pals. But this is because if there's no law, nothing has value except what you can protect with a gun. For some reason, I can't get this across. Clearly, we're in a Bitcoin pump and a crypto pump, and the Trump group very much want to promote Bitcoin and crypto. But remember, this is a commodity which is politically driven by private speculation, and they can take it, to 10,000 whenever they want, and they can take it to zero whenever they want. It's pure politics. There's no
Well, and
fundamental value.
the whole system is so complex. Many people, and I would think most people, don't really understand the nitty-gritty in it. So they can be doing all sorts of stuff. And then there's this aura of coolness around Bitcoin. All these rich people love Bitcoin, so maybe I'm missing something, and it's you don't know what to say to people, when all bets are off, all bets are off. And remember the tulip craze, the tulip bulb craze, where they were bid up to some incredible
Oh, but
heights.
I do think they could take Bitcoin to a ridiculously high number. So,
Right.
yeah, absolutely. And if you look at Bobby's proposal of Bitcoin 2024, that was a way for all the Bitcoin billionaires to get their money out. Basically, you require the poor people to take all their money, launder through the treasury, take out the Bitcoin billionaires at the top, keep it secret, and swap it into real estate, which everybody's going to sell, So it's what they want is the real assets, and Bitcoin is another vehicle to get the real assets. So look around you, land, water, minerals, what's real? Okay, where to stash your cash and coin? Dear Catherine, I'm writing to ask for a deep dive on how various fiscal and monetary scenarios may play out from here. As a real estate developer and investor, my entire career has largely benefited by a nearly unbroken decline in interest rates and the concomitant rise in asset prices over the past 40 years. This is now reversed, perhaps for a long time. Okay, so there's more discussion and recommending that, for example, we could get John Titus and Richard Werner to do different scenarios. So actually, a major production with Richard and John could be interesting, but essentially what you're going to have to do is do, and we do four scenarios every year at year end. So we could make this one a little bit more interesting and record people on it. And I'll think about that. But of course, what you're the scenarios you're dealing with are not financial. They're a political coup d'etat. So you're talking about radical reengineering of the governance structure. And it's a coup. Now, a lot of the coup is by financial means, but it's not something that would be described in a macroeconomics class. It's a coup. And the big issues here that determine what's going to happen financially is how does the coup play out? So, but we, I will, I'll think about getting John or Richard or someone, to do the scenario, the annual scenarios with me at the year end. I think that's a good idea, and I really appreciate that question. Okay, Turtle Fourth. Hello, Celery team. I'm from Portland. Okay, some wonderful subscriber wrote in. They're doing wonderful things in the Portland area, and they're going to connect people up. We had somebody write in from Portland who said they felt isolated, and they've offered to hook them up, and that's really wonderful. Okay, so Carolyn, I'm turning it over to you for recommended links.
We have the first one that I selected is US approves GMO wheat grown with neurotoxic herbicide. And that is a reprint of what Mercola put out. I thought they already had GMO wheat, but I guess this is either new or something worse than what we had before. But it's an example of what we get. I'm subscribed to Mercola, and I thought this one was particularly interesting. And GMO wheat, what can I say? There is a link to an article by Alex Craner. One of our subscribers apparently really likes him and submits things frequently. And I just want to say, I'm of two minds about covering it, but basically he's very excited that things are wonderful now that we've elected Trump. And he is suggesting a Nuremberg-like process in that's very public and explicit, and that will basically open up the truth about JFK, RFK, and M Martin Luther King assassinations, 9/11, global war on terror, Russiagate, COVID-19, Ukraine war, 2020 elections, WEF agenda, Epstein and P. Diddy lists, Lahaina, North Carolina. And, at a very minimum, some of these issues must come under public truth and reconciliation inquiries. I have to tell you, I'm not seeing anything from the appointments so far leading me to believe that that we're going to have a bunch of people wanting to do a truth and reconciliation commission at this point. I mean, it might be a great idea, but he also refers to a Trump statements, and he thinks that this is what we're going to expect from Trump. And Trump said he'll immediately reissue his 2020 executive order restoring the president's authority to remove rogue bureaucrats. Second, he will clean out all of our corrupt actors in our national security and intelligence apparatus. Third, he will totally reform FISA courts, which I would be in favor of. I'd be in favor of doing away with FISA probably, but the FISA courts are terrible, which are so corrupt that the judges seemingly do not care when they are lied to and in warrant applications. Fourth, to expose the hoaxes and abuses of power that have been tearing our country apart. Fifth, launch a major crackdown on government leakers who collude with fake news to deliberately weave false narratives. Not sure how, I would be very careful about interfering with rights of free speech, although if somebody's a government employee and putting out information, that's possibly not really a right to speak about that. Sixth, make every inspector general's office independent and physically separated from departments they oversee, so they don't become the protectors of the deep state. Seventh, ask Congress to establish an independent auditing system to continually monitor the intelligence agencies to ensure they are not spying on our citizens. Eighth, continue the effort launched by the Trump administration to move parts of the sprawling federal bureaucracy to new locations outside the Washington swamp. and ninth work with to ban federal bureaucrats from taking jobs at companies they deal with and that they regulate. I actually would be in favor of that one, but this is, oh, finally, push a constitutional amendment to impose limits on members of Congress's terms. I would not be in favor of opening up a
No, I would
constitutional.
not be.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, the people can elect them or not. It's their choice.
Yeah. And opening up a constitutional convention to a lot of fiddling with the good parts of the Constitution, which are most of them, is a really bad idea. But anyway,
Well, the
then
sort
the
of it's the end of the country idea.
yeah.
It's not just a bad idea. It's game over.
I mean, they're talking about wiping out a lot of the bureaucracy, and this person, apparently Trump at one point talked about moving federal agencies out of Washington. I must say that if you start moving federal agencies, number one, that's expensive. And number two, there is some benefit, at least economically and for other reasons, to have federal government people in a place where they can communicate with each other.
Okay, so
Although,
I have to interrupt you with some bad news.
yeah.
The Wall Street Journal just announced that the president has named Representative Matt Gaetz, the Florida Republican, to be his attorney general.
I'm not incredibly familiar with him, but I don't think that that's sounds like it's
He
good
was the
news.
one that got McCarthy kicked out and gave us Johnson.
Ugh. Gee. And that's a very important post.
Well, what it means is you're going to have someone who's not, who has a, from what little I know about him, he does neurosurgery with a hatchet. It's going to be very interesting.
From what I can see of the appointments, maybe I shouldn't say this, but Trump seems to be wanting to reward people who were loyal to him during the difficult times.
Yeah,
And
so the number one criteria is loyalty and teamwork. It's what it looks like.
yeah,
Yep.
and there one can imagine an agenda to get back at the people who were allegedly or actually against him. And that could entail a lot of things that weird priorities and that sort of thing. And that could be going into the Department of Justice too.
Well, he didn't do that last time, and in many respects that, he's better off not doing that this time, but we'll see. I
Right.
wouldn't assume. You gotta see.
I mean, I personally would like to be done with the 2020, illegitimate election stuff. I mean, he's now president, spending a lot of time on that past history. I mean, to the extent that it involved corruption that we need to have exposed, I guess that makes sense. But
Well, but 95% of the deep state problem comes from the fact that the federal government since 1998 has not obeyed the financial management laws.
right.
And we do not see one mention, one second, one sentence about returning the federal government to compliance with the financial management laws. All we
Right.
see is making it possible to plunder the rest of the assets. So, if you're serious about wanting to do something about the deep state, the first thing you would do is you would revoke FASB Statement 56 and begin to return the financial operations to compliance with the law. If
And
you
send out
don't,
a whole bunch of forensic accounting people to find the $1 trillion that are missing.
Where's the 21 trillion? Because if you don't find the 21 trillion and get it back, that's the money that's going to be buying up the rest of your assets you're marketing off, right?
Right.
Right. So is this the next round of plunder? And of course, the question is, all these people, which ones have an Epstein file and which one are dual citizen passports?
I mean, it's possible none of them do, but that would surprise me.
Well, that's why demanding transparency for these things are so important.
Yeah. The next link is to a an interview with the author of a book. His name is Kevin Shipp, And he's written a book called Twilight of the Shadow Government: How Transparency Will Kill the Deep State. And he's a former CIA officer and whistleblower. And if you like mysteries and knowing all about how the deep state or how the CIA works and doesn't work or doesn't work for the American people, I listened to part of the interview here, and it's very interesting. And it's very funny because he said in his original interview with the CIA, the first thing they asked him was, have you ever broken the law? And he figured the telling the truth would cook his chances. And he said, well, yeah, he'd dealt drugs or at least taken illegal drugs and all of this stuff. And the guy said, oh, well, that's okay. We don't care about that. And went on to the next subject. So, what can I say? And he reported a breach in the systems in, I think it was foreign embassies, that had the effect of exposing who the agents were, there, who they were, which of course would endanger their lives. And he reported it within the agency, and he was told to drop it. And he tried several, he'd send emails and they would say they weren't received. So he hand delivered it. And then he was told, they didn't have it. And he was basically threatened and told to drop it. And the Department of State person found out about it and hauled in the CIA guy who was responsible for covering it up and slapped his hand. But of course, that didn't help. It didn't help Shipp's career in the CIA, even though the Department of State had intervened. But you just wonder. It was an interesting story. The next one is the 2,000 pages leaked from German CDC due diligence. That's the RKI that Catherine was talking about. But Sasha Latipova wrote a Substack on it, and her first glaring find, she says, is that the COVID test is fake. That sensitivity of 30 to 50% is worse than flipping a coin for the PCR test. But she invites people to write in, and I'd like to offer my readers an opportunity to publish an article based on these papers on my Substack under your name, or under a pen name if you wish. If you already have a Substack and want me to cross-post your article, let me know. And she's got contact information. So she's trying to organize, people to review, because she 2,000 pages is really more than one person can really absorb effectively. So if you're interested in doing that, go on her Substack. Due
Well, the
diligence and all.
Germans did a really good video presentation. So there is I don't know if the link is with what we have, but there is a really great present in German with subtitles that describes essentially what is in the material, and the fact that what it does is it documents 100% of the advice had no scientific support. And it was all dictated by politics. There was no medicine or science behind the masks, the lockdowns, or the vaccines. And they knew it.
Well, and we knew that, but we didn't have any, it's wonderful when a government comes out or there's irrefutable proof. The next one is something that I put in here based on something that was embedded in a post of Sasha Latipova, and it is the May 20, 2021 COVID-19 emergency declaration blanket waivers for healthcare providers. And when I saw this, I thought, oh my God, this could be the source of why the hospitals were doing things that were clearly, I would call, illegal. Imposing DNR orders, as we heard about with Scott Skarsgård, doing things like ignoring healthcare proxies, starving people, not giving them medication. And so I pulled the ones that I thought were look kind of suspicious looking and sent them to a friendly nurse friend, and she interlineated her comments on whether these were important or not important things, and whether the waiver was dangerous. And so I have put that into a PDF that we're going to link to this. So anybody who'd like to look at that in order to learn some of the things that were going on. And I think there may have been another document or other written orders sent to the hospitals, whether from CMS, which is the Medicare and Medicaid regulatory part of HHS, or whether it was the Department of Defense, but that there were some orders that were given to the hospitals on which they felt they could rely and on doing things that were basically killing people, as
So
we learned.
here's the because I've had doctors tell me that they've tried to talk patients out of taking remdesivir, and they and their family will request it and they can't talk them out of it, because of the brain, the brainwashing is so bad. So there are two sides to this story, but I want to go back to the person who said, how could these scenarios unfold? Right now we have ample documentation. The doctors and hospitals are intentionally murdering people. The rem the story in the Jackie DeVos story and documentary in the UK, where they get the family get a call on Thursday and say, your dad's going to die at midnight on Saturday, come in and say goodbye. And then they would give him the shots to kill him as euthanasia. So we know this. And that's before they can turn off everybody's money unless they do what they say. Imagine you've got a doctor with a big practice and five kids and a mortgage, and you tell him if he doesn't, implement the following government orders, you're going to turn off his money. What do you think he's going to do? I mean, so when you add that power to what we've seen go on, you're talking about something that could, go through the body politic like a hot knife through butter.
I still think there was documentation the hospitals relied on to do some of these
Oh,
things.
I agree. I'm just saying you add the power to turn their money on and off. I mean, we know from the coding how much money. If they could keep somebody on a ventilator for 2 more days, they'd get, instead of a half a million, they'd get 1 million. They were making a fortune.
Well, and these waivers allowed them to do things like have people who didn't know how to use ventilators, or have, podiatrists, or people who didn't know what they were doing be manning the machines. I mean, that's the type of thing the waivers would permit.
Right.
So it's interesting. The next one, genocide as a method. And the subscriber says, this is so close to what Catherine describes as a method, the genocide in Gaza, that it could be a bu blueprint for all of us if we do not stop this. And this is an interview with a gentleman named Eyal Weitzman, who is an architect in, I guess, Gaza, or in Palestine. And he is the one behind the cartology of genocide that Catherine went over on Money and Markets. But this is an interview with him, and it is very, very interesting. And he did this out of a heartfelt sense of wanting to let the world know what was going on. And he speaks from the heart, and he teaches about the effect of shutting down all sorts of systems, and how that the fact of attacking the agriculture, ruining the land many inches down, so that it'll be a century before the land will be something that is fertile for the future, driving people from the north to the south. And he explains that the north is where the fertile soil is, and the south is where the desert is. So, he knows the land very well and explains what is happening as a method, and how we can tell it's a method by the way that it's been done. It's very interesting.
Can you send that into the blog with a CC to me and Mark at WU? Okay, great. That's an amazing thing, the that cartography of geography, amazing thing, because when you destroy that much housing and the entire wastewater system, you only do that if you want essentially to accelerate the death with starvation and disease.
Right. And to have the person who put that together explain it is really, really great. Really explains a whole lot. It makes it even more meaningful. The next one is how Europeans would vote in the US election. Somebody apparently, it's called europeelects.eu, but apparently they polled people in Europe to find out whether they would have voted for Trump or Harris, and then which one they would have preferred. And I found the results pretty interesting. I mean, I have no idea whether their methodology holds together, but basically what they found, and they have bar charts on it, is the people in the Eastern European countries were more likely to like Trump, and the ones who really would have liked Kamala Harris were the ones in the northernmost European countries that are, somewhat socialist, Norway, Sweden, the
What's
Nordic countries.
interesting is the reports I'm getting from Europe, and I'll know better when I get back later this month, but the reports I'm getting is suddenly you have all sorts of commentators speaking openly in public about things that they were afraid to say before the election. So I will say this, under a Trump presidency, people feel much more free to talk about whatever they want.
Well, that's very interesting because there was a it was surprisingly strong favoring of Harris as a whole. I mean, by a lot. And Russia, Slovenia, Slovakia, those are the only countries that were really a majority Trump. And it was, like 70-30 was the typical, 70-30
Right.
in
So
favor.
remember, Orban is very enthusiastic about Trump, and Trump's wife is Eastern European.
Yeah, but that's not the usual for the European countries, apparently. And then we have a link to Whitney Webb talking with Mark. I forget his last name, but he's really bright and understands the Bitcoin
It's
market
Mark
beyond.
Goodwin. Yeah, he's
Good.
terrific.
That's right. And it's called The Next 4 Years of America. And she's saying many of the same things Catherine's been saying, which is, don't expect miracles in the new administration where
So
things.
what I keep saying is the campaign starts today.
Yeah.
This is trench warfare. It's going to be trench warfare, every position, every policy from here on out. So, don't, the campaign's not over. It's just beginning.
Yeah, and how deep states' influence might persist despite campaign promises, exploring the complex relationship between Wall Street, big tech, and America's political landscape. That's
I have not seen the Trump transition team do or say one thing that implies they're going to clean out the deep state. And I've seen many things that imply they're going to significantly increase the central bankers' control over fiscal policy. Quite the opposite.
Yep. They didn't bring back the old bad guys, but the people they're replacing them with don't appear to be solving the problem
Elon Musk is a
anymore.
defense contractor.
Oh, among other things.
Elon Musk is a defense contractor, and he is building the most powerful surveillance network of satellites worldwide with taxpayers' money.
And I just want to point out that we put in recommended links some comments about building homeschool systems, how to do homeschooling really well. It was from a subscriber that we met at one of the meet and greets, and that is in here too. So if that's a something of your that you're interested in, it's a quite a thoughtful presentation. And that's it, Catherine.
Wow. That was a thin, everybody was voting and watching what was happening on the election and send instead of sending in questions for Ask Catherine. So I bet we get a
Right.
lot more questions next week. Anyway, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's we the change is upon us. Get your surfboard because they're going to be waves are up, right? The surf's up. Anyway, it's an exciting time to be alive. I will confess, Carolyn, I'm always trying to, I pride myself on being able to maintain my state of amusement. And I told John when I came in to record Money and Markets, I said, thank God I'm talking to you because I've lost my state of amusement and I'm having an anger management anyway, but it 10 minutes with John and already we were laughing. I was back in my state of amusement anyway. So I'm delighted today that I talked to John Titus and Carolyn Betts because that's one of the great things about one of the many great things about working for the Soleri team. We've reiterated in the meet and greets. I've reiterated every chance I get. So I'm gonna reiterate again. The best thing that's ever happened to me in my life is getting a job working for all of you, and I love
And
it.
you are not going to be going to leaving us to work for the government in this century.
I have busted my you know what to get a job working for our subscribers and the people. It's the best thing. I don't know if you remember this. I was having breakfast with Dennis Kucinich in Union Station, and the Chris, the senator from Delaware, was he would commute home, and he came in and he was walking by Dennis and me, and Dennis, he stopped to say hello to Dennis. And so Dennis introduced me, and Chris had come to the Senate after I had left Washington, so he didn't know I we didn't know each other. Anyway, so he says to me, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, Senator, I have a very interesting job. I said, I have a group of people who pay me to go where I want, do what I want, talk about what I want, say what I want, and and basically write and research what I want with whomever I want." And he looked at me. I meant to be funny, and this wave of grief came over his face, and he said, "How can I get that job?" Because, being a senator is much more brutal than you think.
Oh,
And I
yeah.
said to him, I said, Senator, I said, the apprenticeship is a little rough. Anyway, so, and it's been exciting. The last week has been very exciting. We had a great speech at Hillsdale. What wonderful people there! A great meeting with some state legislators and government officials, and more to come. And I'm on my way. We had a great, the last meet and greet was great. We're on our way to, Carolyn was there in Grand Rapids. We're on our way to a meet and greet in Texas. So I must say, I love my life. And I got an interview with Shannon Joy. So Shannon Joy, and I keep getting calls from the transition team. Are you interested? No. And they said, "Well, what are you going to be doing?" And I said, "Well, Whitney Webb and Shannon Joy and Corey Lynn, Mark Goodwin, Derek, but a group of us, Ryan Christian, we're going to be on your tail, checking on everything you're doing and making sure you're fighting for freedom and not for, the deep state. So think of us as, it's an inside outside game. We're going to be outsiders, pushing hard to make sure the freedom fighters inside get there, get it to get to the table and get things done. So we're the outside game. But first and foremost, I want to make sure the subscribers are successful in this environment. And that's our job. And something, Carolyn, it's a great job. We love that
Yep.
job. And we thank you for your questions and your support. And speed costs money. So we can do more if we get more subscribers. So feel free to turn around to people who you think could benefit from a Soleri Report subscription and bring them in. Because the bigger the network grows, the more intelligence we get. If Soleri, first and foremost, is an intelligence network, we're here to help each other. If you haven't gotten on Connect or connected with the meet and greets in your area, you want to do that. We're coming back in the spring. A lot more great meet and greets. So, anyway. Okay. Well, Carolyn, have a wonderful day. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Ask Catherine.